as the Lord says, these are the charges that I bring against you in my court today. This court is now in session.
We're going to get rid of the rope. I told Susan I was going to do that. I actually was going to do it, and then I wasn't going to do it, and then I decided to do it anyway. But you know what? If I want to breathe through the rest of the morning, I better take this thing off. Oh, goodness. I don't see the law. I should see the law. You know, God has got a sense of humor, doesn't he, Richard? You know, here to get light, or you have to move way over here to get the light from the piano. And we've been talking, isn't it amazing that those four, somebody turned them back on. I'm sitting here this morning, I look and I'm like, two of those, somebody flipped the switch. Oh, goodness. Nope, there it goes. See, watch. We sang a song this morning, and verse 2 said, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. And you know, I think about the children of Israel. You know, this is kind of fun up here. When I think about the children of Israel and what God says to them, their aim, their prayer should have been, get me out of here, Lord. We pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? Any of you pray that? Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because what's coming? Tribulation! Y'all need to be here on Wednesday night. You're missing that part. I told my students this morning, most people don't like reading the end of the story because they don't want to see it. But if you're a child of God, you're not going to be there in the end of that story because we're going to be gone from here. My aim is higher ground. Don was sitting there this morning and I thought we were going to have to get him some nitro. He looked at my notes going down here. Don, this is the condensed version. It really is. The regular version would have been down to about here. And, you know, there's actually, I should give you the option. Here's Sermon A or Sermon B, the condensed version. Well, I'm not giving you the option. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Father, I thank you for your word, that we can look into your word. And Father, I just pray that this morning, as we look into your word, that we will grow in you this morning, Father, that we will see how we ought to live in light of your word. We pray these things in your most precious name. Amen. Take your Bibles. We're going to travel a little bit this morning, but go to the law. Go to the book of Leviticus. Third book, chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 10. We're only going to look at one verse. But if you look at the law, God commands holiness from His people. He wants us to live holy in this world. He says in verse chapter 19 of the book of Leviticus, verse 10, and you shall not glean your vineyard. Does everybody know what gleaning your vineyard means? If you've never been a farmer, you don't know. When you farm, when you don't glean at all, you don't take every single piece of food out of that field. When we were in Bible college, you used to be able to go and glean potatoes. The issue was, if you went gleaning, you had to take a 100-pound sack of potatoes when you left the field. And you know, I thought to myself back then, now this was a long time ago, if the farmer is leaving 100-pound sacks of potatoes in the field because it's too much work to get them out, how many potatoes did he get? Because the fields would be full of people picking bags of potatoes. But the law, maybe this guy was living under the law, it says, "And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and strangers. I am the Lord your God." It says, leave something for the poor. That's the law. Now, we know we don't live under the law, and I am so thankful. Because if you've ever read, and we think of the law as the first five books, there's way more than the first five books. But try keeping just a couple chapters in the first five books for a week or for a day. But what does God... Go to Hosea chapter 4. And if you're using a Pew Bible, the book of Hosea starts on page 475. Go to chapter 4. And we're going to start there this morning. And we will probably be here for a few weeks. But the reason I came out with a little humor this morning, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Hear the word of Israel, you children..." Or, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel." That's a legal complaint. You need to hear this. Why did they need to hear it? Because they had forgotten, obviously, what the law said. The people in this time, who's talking to them? It's not the priest. It's a prophet. Because they have fallen into idolatry. God's chosen people have fallen into idolatry at this time. He says, "For the Lord brings a legal complaint or a charge against the inhabitants of the land." Well, there's some of them. We're going to get to those in a minute. Oh, wait, we'll get to them right now. Continue on verse 1. It says, "There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraints with bloodshed upon bloodshed." The Lord has told His people throughout time to take care of the poor and the needy. "Because I am the Lord God," is what He said back in Leviticus. And if you read that passage in Leviticus, He says that same line over and over. How come God can tell us what to do? He's God. I mean, we're in church, so that should be the answer. But He's God. He created us. He has the right to tell us what we can and cannot do. He says we need to care for the poor. We need to have mercy on those people. But what did He say? He said the people have forgotten. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. How many of you got caught in the rush hour traffic or the rush hour walk coming to church this morning because so many of the neighbors were heading to church this morning? Sidewalks were crowded with people. The streets were crowded with people because they were all going to church to seek the knowledge of God, right? All of your neighbors went to church this morning, right? I think if you'd look down this street right here, you'd see almost every, other than one of our neighbors that lives on this street, most of their cars are in the driveway or in the street this morning, just like they were last night. You know, some of the people that live right here in this neighborhood profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but I never see their cars leave on Sunday. How can they grow in their knowledge and understanding of the Word if they're not in God's house? They've forgotten the knowledge. They don't seek after that knowledge. Now, verse 2, by swearing and lying, killing, stealing, and committing adultery, they're breaking the Ten Commandments. Let's see. Can I see the next set? The next one? Look at verse 6. This is chapter 20. By showing mercy to thousands, love me, keep my commandments. Name the Lord not in vain. Hang on, don't move yet. Wait a minute, what's he say here? Swearing. What do most people do when they swear? They take the Lord's name in vain. Next one. The next one. I must have missed it. Next. Is there next? Next. Keep going. Oh, there you go. Got to go far enough. Stealing, lying, killing, swearing, lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery. Murder, committing adultery, stealing, or bearing false witness against your neighbor. I tell you what, they had the law. Many of the people in that day memorized the first five books of the Bible. And what is the charge that God has against those people? His chosen people. He's talking to the children, verse 1, the children of Israel. This is my legal complaint that I have against you. The no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God, and you are murderers, adulterers, thieves, and liars. Wow. It's a charge from God through one of His prophets. But look at verse 2, that last part, the last line, with bloodshed upon bloodshed. This means blood was being shed even to the point of killing their own relatives. Psalms chapter 106. Let's go there real quick. Verse 38, 106:38. Psalms 106, verse 38 says, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Psalm 106:38. The land was polluted with blood. Wait a minute. What does this country look like today? How far have we... I mean, we have the complete Word of God. We have everything that we need. But how far have we gotten as a society away from the truth of Scripture? You probably can't pick up any paper any day. Pick up the LA Times any day that you want and you'll find blood being shed. This land is polluted with blood. But do we have murders? Oh yeah. That's why California has a larger penal system than the whole continent, the whole Russia. Oh, adultery? Yeah. Thieves? Yeah. People that bear false witness? Yeah. Who is this being written to? It's being written to the children of Israel. But should we learn a little lesson from them? I think so. There is. We do not live under the law. We live under grace because of what God did by sending His Son to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. We can't keep the Ten Commandments. Neither could they. But you know what? Without the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross, there is no remission of sin. We have, as if you name the name of Christ, you are a Christian. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You've accepted what Christ did on the cross for you. You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You have that power within you to live. I told my students this morning in Sunday school, I said, you know, when you go to school every day, when you go to work every day, Christ should be seen in your life. We should not look like the world. We should look Christ-like. Is it easy? No. No, it is not. Why? Because every time a baby's born, we're adding another sinner to the world that needs to know Christ. It didn't stop. It's not going to stop till the end of the story. When we look at the Ten Commandments, we look at countries that have abandoned any walk or relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know what? They still put people, actually some of the stealers, they lose appendages of their body if they get caught stealing. Other countries, if you murder, guess what? They take your life. You commit adultery, they take your life. Can I say to you that even the most heathen nation in the world today knows what this is? Because every nation lives under law. They have laws in place. And I got to believe that if you would look in their history to see where some of those laws came from, they go right back to Exodus chapter 20. God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Other things He's condemned in Scripture. There's a whole list of stuff that if you really look at it, it's hard. Just those 10. Is this country today, and I believe this is the greatest nation in the world, I really do, 100%. Do we still have a lack of knowledge in our land? Yeah, because if you're not in the Word, you're not studying the Word, you're not fellowshipping with other believers, you're not going to church. But the key for each one of us is being in the Word of God daily ourselves. Where is that knowledge? I got to tell you, you can't get knowledge of the Word of God and be growing 1 hour a week. Because I'll bet you, you spend more than 1 hour a week keeping your physical self going. This is food. This is food to grow by. You know, I saw something really, it kind of struck me as funny. You know where that phrase, this is really off of Hosea, the phrase, I got my teeth into it? Does anybody know where that's at? Is that just a good old boy saying? Read the book of Job this week. Read the book of Job this week and see if you can find that. Interesting what we find in God's Word when we dig. There seems to be churches on every corner, and if you remember when we when we started in this book, I showed you that real estate listing, 288 churches by one real estate agent for sale. I got a call last night from an older gentleman, and he said, do you have time to talk? This is tough. He said, do you have time that I could talk with you? He said, I need somebody I can talk to, and I don't have anyone I can call. And I said, I got time. And his wife's health is deteriorating, probably won't be with us much longer. But his concern was for his church. He's found out some stuff recently that the leadership of the church is not doing this godly. And he says, I hate to say this. He said, but I think we need to close the church. The really sad thing is I met with a mission group this week on Wednesday morning, and that we were praying for churches in our association that are in desperate, troubled times right now, and that church came up, and the comment was, maybe that church needs to be closed. Here a man who's been in that church for probably 40 years called me last night. We talked for 32 minutes, and his heart's broken because he sees a church that is dying. And he said, maybe we need to close. What should I do? Church has been around over 100 years in Southern California. What's wrong with our church today? Too many people that sit in church are not studying God's Word. They're not growing in their knowledge. What's he say in verse 1? There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Y'all go out much? I mean, how many of you been in a hotel recently? What's in the drawer of almost every hotel? Gideon Bible. And the Gideons will tell you, if you talk to a Gideon, they'll tell you there are people that write them constantly and say, I got saved because you left that Bible in that drawer. But you know, many hotels today, you pull that drawer open and that Bible's never been opened. It's just not a priority in people's life to get into God's Word, to grow in that knowledge of Him. Other things get in the way. The point is, this is freely available. I told my students, I bet I got 20 of these in my office, because I've got all kinds of translations. I even have one that's English-Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, but it's in there, in case I need to look up something to show a brother that speaks Spanish. But what happens if it just sits on the shelf? You know, if you don't have a Bible and you need a Bible, take that one out of the pew, because the pew doesn't read it. It's there for people to use. We've given a lot of them away. If you need a Bible, take it out of there. Take it home and use it. Don't take it home and put it on the shelf next to the other one you took home. If you're going to study God's Word and you want to grow, y'all think I got my size by not eating? Uh-uh. I love my food. Do I grow in my knowledge of Him by looking at this on my desk? No. It doesn't work if I put it here. It doesn't work if I use this as a pillow. I have to be in the Word of God daily to grow. Verse 1, we're not going to get very far this morning. This is not what your pastor's telling you. This is not what the prophet is telling you. This is what the Lord said. Hear the word of the Lord. No truth, mercy, or knowledge of God in the land. Where's your walk with Christ today? Do you have a hunger and a desire to know Him more and more each day? My prayer for my students is that they will catch at a young age. How much easier would it have been for most of us if when we were young? And you know, I figured something out today, Richard. I told y'all, I grew up in a hellfire and brimstone church. And what'd the pastor always do? He'd smack. And you know, I figured it out. I finally, at my age, I'm not going to tell you how old that is, but at my age, I finally figured out why they do that. To get your attention. Dick Buck was the senior pastor at the church where I grew up until December 31st of 69 when God took him home. There would be dead silence. And every student in that church would look up. And I figured out he did that to get our attention so we would hear the word of the Lord that God had given him that day. Why do they do this in church? They see y'all falling asleep, so they get your attention. That hurts your hand, though. I looked for a gavel this morning. I actually got the stamp that says Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. It's up there. I was going to tap on the... What's your heart's desire? What's your heart's passion? Is it to have a closer... A bigger car, a better car, a bigger house, nicer clothes? Or is it my aim is higher ground? To grow in your knowledge of Him, to share Christ with people that He puts in your path, and to look forward to the day that the Lord is coming back for us. If you don't come on Sunday nights, you missed it. We sing a song almost every Sunday night. I think if we would check, we probably do it 47 times a year. California Gospel Explosion was on last night, and it was an old program, and the man was singing, I turned it on to go to sleep. I try and sleep to some kind of Christian music, and that's the song he was doing last night, and I'm thinking, what a joy that would be if we weren't here today, because we're all gone. Wouldn't that be fun? Some of y'all aren't sure. Wouldn't it be fun to be in the presence of God today? No more pain, no more sorrow, no bills, no tears, no more murder, no more adultery, no more stealing, no more bearing false witness, none of those things. To be in the presence of God. Sitting at the throne, at the foot of the throne, worshiping God. Because of what Christ did for you and for me on the cross that day. We need to pray for our nation. You know, if you study Scripture and you see where we're going as a nation, you see where the world's going, you know that the only thing that's going to make it better is when He takes us home. It's the only thing that's going to solve that problem is to be home with our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You for the truth that we see contained in Your Word. And Father, You've given us Your Word. You've given us We see from Your Word these charges that were brought against the children of Israel. Father, how so quickly they've strayed from obeying you. Father, I pray for our nation, that, Father, our nation will once again be a nation that is serving you, that knows right from wrong. Father, I pray for revival. Father, my prayer this morning is that there's someone in this room that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today might be their day of salvation. Father, I just pray that for those that are in this room that know you as their Lord and Savior, that, Father, this week they will be a light in the darkness around them, and that, Father, that they will share truth from your word with their unsaved friends. Father, that they might come to know you as their Lord and Savior, and that the revival can start right here with us. And Father, I do pray that as we go out into the mission field that you've called us to, that, Father, we will be witnesses for you. We pray this in your most precious and holy name. Amen.